Welcome back to DC Talk. This is episode number 88. We are 12. Hey, Carrie, we are 12 weeks away from episode 100.
Oh, wow.
We're like 3 months away from episode 100.
3 months?
3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, just about, I can't believe that.
That's insane.
Hey, it is March 1st, 2020, and we actually have daylight savings time coming up next week.
We do?
Yep. Oh. And actually, our state just voted that after it skips up an hour, that there's no more time change for our state anymore.
Oh, crap. Yeah, you're right. It is next week.
We no longer will time change anymore.
Yeah, well, apparently we voted to vote on it, so I don't know what's going on in California. I'm sure someone will explain it to me at some point, but
Ohio joins the ranks of Arizona, Hawaii does it too, I believe.
I don't think Hawaii does it. I know Arizona doesn't.
Right. I can't remember the other ones. But now we joined the elite rank.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they keep saying it's as goes California, so goes the rest of the world. But I think Ohio's gonna beat us this time around.
But that's okay.
We don't always have to go first. In environmental regulations and stuff like that. Oh wait, never mind. That's not the podcast for this.
But you know where we would like to come first, though.
What?
In ratings, if you rate our show.
Oh, right. Because we need that kind of validation in our lives.
Yes, absolutely. Every day I check. I'm like, oh, we got on there. Oh, no, nobody loves us. Oh, we got there. Oh, no, nobody loves us. No, I'm just kidding. But you can do all of our, you can do that stuff if you like. You can rate us. We would love to get stars. And you don't have to, but you can. And if you do, you know, if you say, you know what, I can't give you a star, but you know what I can do, Mike and Carrie, is I can send you guys an email. Emailing us dctalk@randomchat.com, or you can join us in Discord and you can talk to us in Discord. You do that going to randomchat.com/community. You got a link toward for Discord, you got a link for Patreon to become a member of our network and everything else. And you could also get a t-shirt with our logo on it by going to the TeePublic store. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that's just a little bit of things about us. But the other voice, again, we're already way past introductions, but hey, that was Carrie. So Carrie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I watched Iron Man this morning in preparation for our Cape Chronicles episode this evening. I also got my hands on the digital release of Superman Red Sun, which was amazing. I watched that this morning as well. And I was in a weird mood, so I decided to watch Eddie Izzard's Dress to Kill, which was hilarious. I'd never seen it before. That was fun. I love his voice.
We're gonna talk about another actor's voice here in a second. That's got an amazing voice.
We are.
So I've been of course I've been doing Smallville rewatch. Mm-hmm. I just finished season 2. And I remember putting on Twitter that when I finished it, I said that number two things become clear. Number one, the music absolutely dates the show.
Oh, yeah.
But it absolutely makes the show.
Oh, yeah.
So it's great. And then Lana Lang seems to be cause of many conflicts in this show. Either knowingly or unknowingly.
Gee, I'm shocked.
I know, right?
I know.
Oh, but I am going to have to put a pause between season 2 and 3 because I still need to watch Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm.
I do plan on watching Red Sun this week.
Yes.
And then I also, I started my rewatch of Fast and Furious to get ready for
9,
the new movie coming out, for 9 coming out. And then at the same time, I'm in the middle of starting a rewatch of the Daniel Craig Bond to get ready for No Time to Die. So, I've got a lot of stuff to watch, so I thought of a good place to stop would be, so I kind of like burned through like the last 4 episodes of season 2 of Smallville just to kind of get to a good ending spot.
Yeah, I also started watching V-Wars. I watched the first episode. I finished Altered Carbon and then I started watching V-Wars, which you would think would be Ian Somerhalder, check, Vampires, check.
Check.
I got through the first episode. I'm like, this is weird. And I was like, I've watched some really good vampire fiction. See The Strain, Interview with the Vampire, Ian's previous show, Vampire Diaries, which I never finished, but that's another story altogether. I'm not entirely sure about this. I want to get through at least episode 2 before I pass judgment. I know it's based off a comic. That's not one we're going to cover ever. I think it's an IDW thing. I'm not entirely sure. There's some stuff that it has to do with like prehistoric viruses and stuff like that, which is interesting and kind of fascinating, but at the same time, what it looks like it's tried to do, The Stray did better.
Huh. Okay.
But I'm like I said, I've only finished episode 1, and I want to get to release episode 2 before I decide whether or not I want to continue. There's only 10 episodes, so, yeah.
The last time I saw, you mentioned Ian Somerhalder, the last time I saw Ian Somerhalder was actually, about almost 2 weeks ago when we recorded the episode from season 1 where Boone dies in Lost.
That was
the last time I saw him.
I forget which season of Smallville that he showed up in. I forget if it was season two or three, maybe four. I could be wrong.
It wasn't two.
Okay, so it's probably like season 3 or 4 that he shows up in Smallville. The pattern where he doesn't get to live through a season. They fixed that kind of sort of with Vampire Diaries. I mean, he was undead. And then, I'm not entirely sure if he... Because, I've only watched episode 1 of V-Wars. I don't know yet if he survives this season. I know he's not quite nearly as death-prone as, say, Sean Bean or Michael Shanks, but, which, by the way, this is not much of a spoiler because it happens in episode 1, but, I had to watch Michael Shanks die again in season 2 of Altered Carbon, so that was fun.
I've never seen Altered Carbon.
Oh, you should. It's fun. Don't watch it around the kids, though.
That seems to be the general motto lately. Don't watch this around the kids. Don't watch this around the kids. Oh. Well, that's good.
Anyway.
Well, this is DC Talk again, guys, and we're so glad to be talking about some DC stuff here.
This is not random chatter. This is DC Talk. Thank you.
Not random chatter. This is... that's it. We kind of get a little bit of our network stuff out of the way, and let's go ahead then, I guess, and... move on into our news. The first thing is, the DC Universe news. Alfred Molina has been cast as the voice of Mr. Freeze in the Harley Quinn series.
This makes me so happy.
Absolutely.
This is amazing.
He was Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2.
I know he's Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2. He's been in many, 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 many things, most of which are awesome. I mean, he was in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Come on.
Okay.
He voiced one of the main bad guys in the Dragon spin-off, which is the spin-off for How to Train Your Dragon, and he was really good with that in that and stuff like that. So I am very, very excited.
Good. I like his voice.
Oh,
mainly. I mean, I've only seen him really in as Dr. Octopus or Doc Ock. Spider-Man 2.
You should see Da Vinci Code. He's kind of amazing in that.
Okay, I need to watch that then. I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been cast as the voice of Mr. Freeze in the upcoming Harley season mm-hmm. 2, so that's pretty mm-hmm. cool. And then Harley Quinn has also cast, I'm probably going to butcher the name.
Sanaa Lathan
as Catwoman.
Yes, I don't know her at all.
So she played Janelle Wilson in the Affair TV show. She voiced Donna Tubbs. And Family Guy, as well as the Cleveland Show.
Hmm.
I don't really know her much from anything else. I know she was Alexa Woods in Alien vs. Predator back in 2004. But yeah, that's about it. So, but anyway, so she was cast as Harley, or as Catwoman and Harley. Mm-hmm. Speaking of other people that are cast, of course, we don't cover the show in general news. We don't cover the show on the network.
Not really, no.
Because it's not really... I don't want to say it's not hero... It's DC Comics, but it's not really hero-related or anything like that. But Pennyworth, Season 2, has added 5 new series regulars. Yeah. I saw you had a post earlier where it said 3, and then I went back and looked, and then somebody, like, the next day said 2 more people. They updated it. So let's see. They have reported that James Purefoy, Edward Hogg, and Jesse Romeo are joining the cast. And then Raymond Takaram and Harriet Slater have been elevated to series regulars as well for season 2.
Yeah.
I know none of those people. So
I'm trying to look them up right now.
I was just going to say congratulations to the people I don't know on getting updated to series regular. It's great. Yeah. So they've been
upgraded to regulars, and the others have been cast, and I don't think they said Romeo was tapped to play Katie Browning, who is an art student uprooted by Civil War.
Okay.
Hogg's character will be Colonel Salt. And
Romeo's tapped to play Kate Bryan. Oh, that's what you said.
Yeah,
okay.
Purefoy is going to be playing Alfred's former SAS captain, Gulliver Troy.
So not really people we know in the comics, again, because
this is a prequel.
Yeah, it's like 60s England from what they've kind of said. 1960s England. So we don't cover the show, but if you do watch it, congratulations on those people. So
I mean, I did manage to catch it after the fact. And it is rather good. I think I mentioned that they seem to get away with some stuff because it's a DC property.
Yeah.
But other things that, like, I had to look up, you know, when they stopped public executions and stuff in Britain, which was interesting reading, but yeah, it's a little bloodier than
it's a little bloodier probably than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Birds of Prey level bloody, maybe a little more so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's TVMA, so
obviously.
Watch with that in mind if you ever get around to it.
I will. I know that this summer I've had 2 shows that have gone off the air now for the summertime, so mm-hmm. I pretty much expect summertime I'm going to be loaded with watching a bunch of stuff I need to watch.
Yeah.
And catch up on really bad. So, and I'm doing a lot of traveling this summer. So I'll be having a lot of stuff downloaded to my iPad. Let's see. The Batman has added Gil Perez Abraham in a secret role. He's not really known for a lot of things. He's got a lot of small credits in TV shows, kind of hit miss appearances.
He's apparently premiering, going to be in the new Walking Dead spinoff. So you can report on that if you get around to watching it.
I do watch. I knew the new season, winter season premiere started.
No. This is gonna be one of the spinoffs.
Right, right. And they're only going to go, I think, two seasons, what they said with that one. Which I think is smart, that they already know where they have to get in. They have to end it, so they know how many stories, how many episodes they got. So that's a whole different topic for another time. But Gil Perez Abraham isn't cast in a secret role. We don't know what he's going to be cast in. Speaking of another movie, The Suicide Squad has officially wrapped filming.
Oh, yes, I saw that. I think I saw one of the crew pictures James Gunn posted. Yes, this is the picture I saw, which looks amazing, and I can't wait to see this.
I agree. So there's that. Now they're on the post production and editing, and oh boy, this is gonna be the fun part.
It's gonna be fun.
So, yay. Our last bit of news, we didn't really touch on it last week. Because we don't really cover comics a lot in this one. But Dan Didio from DC Comics left the company. He was number two people on supervising. He was a co-publisher with the company. But Jim Lee, the sole publisher and CCO, Chief Creative Officer, revealed some plans this week on what's going to happen. There was a lot of speculation about the company's future, what would have led. You know, a lot of people thought that if the 5G event fails, that Warner Brothers is going to shut down DC Comics, and a lot of stuff like that.
That seems a bit panicky, really.
Right, and a lot of other people thought Marvel is going to purchase DC Comics, which, look, just throw it out there. That's not going to happen. I think DC Comics... I don't see Marvel. I don't think DC Comics would allow the superheroes, all superheroes, to be under one umbrella.
Well, there were rumors at one point. I think in the 90s or maybe the early aughts, where there were rumors that it was possibly some conspiracy theorist or something, where they were talking about how DC and Marvel were actually owned by the same company. That just, you know, kept separate, which is, and that was how they were able to do stuff like the amalgam unit storylines and stuff like that. Which I found the amalgams interesting. And it was interesting to see what could happen if DC and Marvel, you know, work together on occasion. I don't think DC and Marvel are ever going to be truly owned by the same people.
No, it just won't happen. But
no,
but
that
but
would
Jim
I think
Lee...
that would require DC to be sold off to Disney, and I don't know that that's going to happen.
No, they wouldn't. But he did say, so there's so many new things going on that he looks at being sole publisher now and the team working with. We've been at Warner Brothers for decades. So the intent is going to be lean in collective years. He also addressed the rumors of Marvel possibly buying DC. To address some of the stuff that's out there, their rumors, speculation, I wouldn't put any credence into it. DC's been around for 85 years and will be around for another 85 years. I hope to be doing this panel in 85 years. look, DC's fine, but we do understand, too, that the age of hard copy comic books...
It's possibly coming to an end.
I can see them going more continuously now in a digital direction. It's cheaper. It's not as expensive.
It's more environmentally friendly.
It's more environmentally friendly. So I see the hard copies coming to an end, but I don't see them ending the stories, which would make all those 1,000 issue Batman issues that I bought, Carrie, if they do end with the hard copies, it would make them go up in value. So
I don't know. All the comics I have from the 80s that are sitting under my bed are still worth, you know, a buck a piece. So I doubt that's going to happen anytime soon. I know.
Well, maybe if they stop the hard copies, they'll go up in price for you, Carrie.
I doubt any of the comics I own, any of the hardcover copies I own are going to be worth much, even 20 years from now. So. I mean, they're not even Silver Age at this point. So
yeah,
they're probably they're probably worthless unless I have unless they have full runs of stuff, which I don't.
Well, we can hope. We can hope.
We can hope.
We can hope.
But I wouldn't be getting rid of those anytime soon anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No. So, all right. Well, that's all the news we have. We don't have a lot of news today, but we...
We do not.
We do not, which is always a good thing. So, Carrie, why don't we then go ahead and move on into our DC TV discussion.
Okay, so Batwoman season 1 episode 13, Drink Me. I love how we're still going with the Alice in Wonderland titles here.
Yes.
A new villain sinks her teeth into Gotham, quite literally. The holdup opens in grand fashion. Sophie reluctantly requests Batwoman's that Batwoman keeps her distance, knowing their interactions could undermine her career.
Yes.
Porphyria. Neat.
Neat.
Neat. For those of you who don't know, this is what King George III had.
Mm-hmm.
Is when we talk about the madness of King George, this is part of the thing that we talk about. this is the disease that he apparently had.
It's madness.
It can drive people mad, apparently.
It can. So I did enjoy the Villain of the Week style episode this time.
I did too.
I like the way they kind of still moved the Alice storyline, but they kind of made it secondary to what was going on.
Mm-hmm. I knew Mary would figure out eventually who Kate's alter ego was. Now my question is, how does Sophie not figure out that she's kissing Kate?
Yeah, I have no idea. That one's a little weird to me how that still hasn't come out yet. But Mary figuring out...
I mean, Mary we've established is a very, very smart woman and way more intelligent than a lot of people give her credit for. And I had a feeling she was going to figure it out eventually. I'm really glad she did. I hope she doesn't out Kate to the rest of the family without Kate's knowledge, at least.
How long do you think it's going to be before Mary confronts Kate about it?
Knowing Mary, not long. Maybe tonight. Who knows?
Probably. As we record, she's already revealing it to her.
As we record, oh, it's still kind of early over here. That hasn't started airing yet, but yeah, as we're recording, it's probably coming out at the moment.
That's funny.
I did like the Villain of the Week because I guess we discussed earlier vampires. Hi.
it was a nice kind of slowdown from the heavy weeks we've previously had.
It was I liked watching Kate deal with Beth's death and Alice dealing with the fact that Kate was going to leave her to die and Alice not being too happy about that. I mean,
but it was nice to see Alice help.
Yeah, after she tried to kill Mary.
Okay, so, you know, she had a couple of bad things happen before she helped. I mean...
Yeah.
I still think Mouse is going to turn out to be the ultimate villain this season.
You think so? I think it might be I think it might be Daddy.
I don't know. I think Mouse is going to find a way to turn on Dad and kill Dad, and then Mouse is going to turn on Alice.
Maybe. We shall see.
So... All right. Well, I mean, I really don't have. I don't. You know, the thing about this week's is I really don't have a ton of notes for these episodes this week because they were good episodes. They were just very explanatory ones. So
yeah, pretty much.
Do you have anything else for Batwoman?
I don't.
All right. Well, we can go ahead and go into Supergirl season 5 episode 13. It's a super episode life.
100.
Episode 100 for Supergirl. Congratulations,
Yay!
Supergirl, for making it 100 episodes. Hey, if you want to hear some people, by the way, really celebrate about it, I encourage you to listen to Supergirl Radio, because they do a phenomenal job on their Supergirl reviews, and I know they had a big one for episode 100. So check them out.
Nice.
But summary, because I don't like saying the name, Mixie returns with a proposition for Kara. For Kara, Kara must decide if she wants to change history to become help friends with Lena again.
Okay, say it with me, Mike. Mix
is
Piddalik.
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 Mix Piddalik.
Or Mixie.
I did like the way that they explained away the other actor.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
That was it's like they knew they were going to get questions about it, so let's go ahead and knock it out of the park right at the beginning of the episode.
Exactly. Let's nip this in the bud right away.
It's great. Good. It's great.
The new Mixie is kind of adorable.
I do like his character,
even though I don't trust him farther than I can throw him.
So the problem is the only thing I actually ever know him from is from Reno 911. And
I never saw
Lieutenant Dangle. So to see him in this role, kind of like, okay, I still see him as Lieutenant Dangle. He kind of makes it, you know, similar. But to the whole episode, she's going back and she's looking for times where she could tell Lena that she's Supergirl, and nothing at the end of the episode, nothing works out.
No, because in the end, you can't change the past. You can't fix things. You just have to, move forward.
Yeah.
And accept the consequences.
Yeah.
Which apparently Lena still has not figured out, but good thing Kara has.
Yep, she will. I did like the way that Kara did confront her at the end and said, no, I'm not here to apologize anymore. I'm done. But she said, no, if you do something you shouldn't, I will take you down like any other villain. So she drew the line down on Lena.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I think they're setting Lena up for big bad by the end of this season. I could see her being the big bad at the end of the season.
Either big bad or they're trying to give Lena an out.
Yeah. So
I think eventually Lex is going to turn on her.
No, would like Lex really do does. No, would Lex really do that?
we're talking about Lex Luthor here.
Well, the Lex in Smallville is so kind right now.
But you've seen 10 seasons of Smallville. You know what happens to Lex.
That is true.
I'm not going to spoil Red Sun, but there are very few instances where Lex Luthor becomes the good guy.
So I did like the way that Mixie was showing Kara the life on a projector and popcorn.
Yeah.
And then the projector goes out. He's like, all right, Betamax.
Which, if you don't know what Betamax is, ask maybe your grandparents.
They'll know, maybe.
Or your parents. I had Betamax when I was a kid. I'm just saying.
I didn't.
I'm not old.
I had VHS.
This is... yeah. This is not what I meant when I said I hope we get more Wynn. I forgot that he was supposed to be in this episode, but I'll take it.
Well, there you go.
I'd still like to see more Wynn after this, but I will take this.
You know somebody I would like to see more of.
Who?
And I'm really glad we got to see some more Lockwood. I miss Lockwood.
Oh yeah.
I think he was a great villain last season. And I was really good to see him. I like the way that after that Kara revealed herself. Mm-hmm. The guy said, "What do you want us to do?" Well, let her go. She kept her in a deal. I'm not gonna make us a liar. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was nice that he was at least honorable.
Yep.
That way.
I would like to see him again, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, God, I can't even think of the actor right now. Sam Witwer. That's right. I've had wine today. He and Freddie Prinze Jr. and Vanessa Marshall and a whole bunch of other people are currently doing a DC Universe All-Star Games gaming show. They're on the DC Universe. It's basically they're going through a an RPG that's 5 episodes of all of them gaming. I think Sam is the game master.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is really... Oh, yeah. Claire Grant, Xavier Woods, Vanessa Marshall, Freddie Prinze Jr., and Sam Witwer are doing, like, an RPG that's set in the 80s. I think they said pre-crisis.
Okay.
And if you've seen any of the stuff on Freddy's Twitch channel or Freddy's YouTube channel, where Sam is GM, he is amazing.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. I need to check that out. I need to check it out as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I
didn't have anything else for this episode, unless you did.
Me neither. It was a really good
retrospective episode. It was really good.
I really liked seeing Chris Wood back. I really liked seeing Rain, and I liked that we got at least a few shots of James, even though he didn't come back for the episode.
Yeah,
I really like how they managed this. It was great.
Good. Well, yeah. Go ahead then, I guess, move on.
All right. Black Lightning, Season 3, Episode 14, The Book of War, Chapter 1, Homecoming. As the battle continues, old alliances are revisited and new alliances are forged. For a hot second, I thought they were not going to tell us what was in the case. Again.
Yep.
I actually flipped off my television when they cut to commercial because I was like, you... Bleep. I was like, you're not going to do this to us again.
Of course they were. It would be. No, but I'm glad
they did not.
We did get to see what was in it. So we got to see that it has a list of every meta and their genome.
And it was updated real time, which is why Tobias said he had the keys to Freeland.
Yep. And let's see, we found out, because in the briefcase you find out that the U.S. started and funded the meta research with Markovia.
Mm-hmm.
And that Tyson Sykes is the meta prime, the original meta for all metas, and I liked how he had the captain for all metas
using the green light
right.
formula, because we have metas that have happened under other circumstances. Hello, Dark Matter.
Yep.
Star Labs explosion.
He kind of had a Captain America origin.
He did, but this is like Captain America if Captain America had gone wrong, and of course we did this in another country because it always seems like a good idea at the time.
Yeah,
to give countries weapons that they might use against us eventually.
Do you think Lala's gonna kill his lieutenant?
I don't know. I think if Lala knows that killing people himself anyway will have consequences of him having to deal with that person for the rest of his life, which is going to be very, very long. I think if Lala kills his lieutenant, he won't kill him himself.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Unless he's very, very much aware of what he's doing. And willing to take that chance.
I can also get behind the fact that Khalil's not done. I'm telling you,
I don't think he's done either.
I think he's gonna make the last minute sacrifice play.
Yeah, you've been saying that. I am torn between, okay, on the one hand, I understand Jen wanting to put some distance between the two of them after he attacked her. On the other hand, I get this feeling that they're trying to set up something between her and Brandon, and that feels like it's going way too fast.
Yes.
You know,
I think they're trying to ship that really quickly.
Yeah, but for someone who is just getting over Khalil, and again, just getting over Khalil, and then had to possibly watch him die, and then suddenly for her to drop him just like that, it sounds like they're pushing her in a direction that sounds like the setup is way too fast.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
No, I agree. I'm not a big fan of the Brandon Jennifer ship personally.
Me neither. I think they're
very
good.
It seems very forced.
Really good. I think they're really good as friends. I hope they stay that way. I did find it interesting that apparently Jen can burn Khalil's poison out of her system, which would be very helpful if Khalil manages to live through the end of this season. I did appreciate that Khalil found a way to beat Painkiller back himself. I think that did need to happen.
That was really good. That was good. That did need to happen. Good way to show an internal struggle. Mm-hmm.
That did need to happen. I think that's the part that he didn't get to explain to Jen. Now, there's the part where he was beating back Painkiller while he had his hands around Jen's neck, and that's going to be a little hard to explain to a lot of people, including Jen, but mm-hmm. I mean, at least he managed to beat Painkiller back.
Right. Okay. But it's a good episode.
It is a good episode. Finally, it's nice to see Eve and Gambi getting along.
For now.
After they tried to kill each other.
For now.
For now. For now.
For now. They'll be at each other's throats here
soon. She did give him the case, which was very, very nice of him. Or of her. That I then yelled at the TV for trying to tease that on me again. It was...
How funny would it have been, though, if they didn't tell it was in the case this time?
Oh, I would have thrown something.
I mean, what? We've had that case walk around since, like, what? Season one?
We've had that case walking around since the middle of season one, and every time someone opens it, it's just a green light.
Mm-hmm.
And they close it again, they pass it off. Like, come on!
It was Green Green Lantern's ring.
No. that landed at Diggle's feet.
That's true. Right. Well, I'm done with this episode. Ready to keep going?
Yeah. Let's get going.
The Flash Season 6, Episode 13, Grodd Friended Me. Feeling overwhelmed
does that sound obvious to you?
No. Sounds all. Nothing like, obvious.
That sounds very, very suspect to me.
Very. feeling overwhelmed with all the changes since Crisis, Barry conducts an experiment that goes awry and puts him directly in Gorilla God's path. Iris works with Eva to escape the Mirrorverse. Let Chester help. I love him. I don't know why. I love
him. He's fun. He needs to tone down a couple of things. He needs to, focus.
I did like the way I did catch him say thank Rao.
Yeah, I caught that too. Like, huh? What? Huh? What? Okay. Was he a Rao cultist at one point? Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe he still is. We just don't know.
That could have been one of the changes that happened when the Earths all merged.
And that could be setting up next year's crossover. Maybe they're dealing with the Rao cult.
And we know a whole bunch of people have come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Barry is really struggling after Crisis. He is really struggling.
Well, he kind of had a point. I mean, his parents' graves moved.
Right.
There's a bullet train through the city that used to not, that wasn't there before.
But now it is.
It must be nice to be completely ignorant of all these changes.
It must be nice, but it must be really irritating too.
Well, no, because the people who don't know about the multiverse don't know any better.
True, but the people who do
know about the multiverse are like, I have WTF? What? I have no idea
what's going on.
We need to figure out what all the changes are and stuff. We need to do what Cisco's doing, just, go away and try to figure out where all the changes happened.
Yeah.
But not everyone could take a vacation like that.
No, so, not everybody.
Not everyone.
So the secret finally comes out about Allegra and her doppelganger. That's pretty nice.
Kind
finally
of,
come
sort
out.
Of. Uh-huh.
It's, I love the fact that Ralph is Caitlin's life coach, or Killer Frost's life coach.
Yeah, Ralph is Snow's life coach, not Caitlin's.
That is so funny to me. I love it. So two things I kind of put down here that that I was really interested in. One, it's interesting that Grodd was not affected by the crisis.
Okay, Grodd is super intelligent.
Right. It's interesting to me that they brought that up.
I think someone with that level of intelligence is going to know something.
Right.
Kind of like, I don't know if Mixie mentioned Crisis, but Mixie's from the fifth dimension, and maybe the fifth dimension wasn't affected like the rest of the universe was. I'm just tossing that out there.
I don't know. I know he had some issue with fifth dimension magic during the episode, but that wasn't, it had nothing to relate to
Crisis. That was because Lena locked it down.
Right.
At one point.
I don't know. I think Joe is going to be the first one to figure out that that's a clone Iris.
I think you're right.
I don't think it's going to be
And the theories that Ava was somehow controlling that clone of Iris.
You're right.
You're right.
I have no idea what the heck she's up to. She really threw me out. Threw me for a loop.
That is real. I have no idea what's going on with that.
I don't know either. So, Council of Wells.
Yeah, Nash has his own Council of Wells, sort of. Maybe.
Do you think it's all in his mind?
I don't know if that's... And, of course, it's not... Wells, it's not what the Council of Wells, it's Thawne.
Yeah.
So the Reverse Flash is coming back. I just don't know if Nash Wells is going to survive.
Reverse Flash is definitely going to be the big bad of the end of the season.
You think?
Yes. I think, and of course we called it, I didn't call it last season.
Mm-hmm.
I had a theory that, because remember, we still have one episode of Barry going back in time to his house when he was a kid, and Reverse Flash and Flash are going around his mom, that he saw another Flash look at him and say no, and we still haven't seen that Flash yet. So quite possibly, if Reverse Flash does come back, maybe this is Barry going there and saying no, let it alone.
But you don't know if that's going to be going to have been affected by Crisis as well.
Right. We don't know. We're assuming that mom and dad are, obviously we know mom and dad are still dead.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Which I love that they found their graves at the end. That was good.
It was good.
That was
very nice of Chester.
That was very nice of Chester. Yes. Well. Okay. So the other thing is like yeah, Barry's dealing with all these changes, but also Chester went and messed with Nora's tech.
Yeah, he should have done that.
And I think that is still a bit of a hot button issue, especially knowing that Barry was trying to go and visit his parents and the graves weren't where they were supposed to be.
Yeah, but I am so glad he was able to fix it.
Yeah, I'm glad he was able to fix that. And I love that Marina Vaccarin is still voicing Gideon in the Pat. As long as it's not on the Wave Rider, apparently.
Apparently. Oh, well, speaking of the Wave Rider.
Yeah, speaking of the Wave Rider. Legends of Tomorrow, Season 5, Episode 6, Mortal Kombat.
Oh, I see what you did there.
See what we did there?
See what we did.
Yeah. With Sarah Wave from the Wave Rider, the Legends find a new encore with Ava's new invention of the Prognosticator. That was funny. And must now defeat Genghis Khan in the 1990s Hong Kong. Constantine's life is hanging in the balance, meanwhile. And, of course, Constantine is going to find a way around that because this is John Constantine. And he will find a way out of almost anything.
Yep, and he did. And I think he was shocked that he got it to work. I did think it was
funny. I think he's always shocked that it's going
to
work because he doesn't even know if it's going to work. He's a very good good gambler like that.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was so funny that when he got onto the Wave Rider and everybody's talking, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He just, you hear a lighter click, and he's like, well, I'm going to die anyways. So he just mm-hmm. started lighting up a cigarette right off the bat. Mm-hmm. That was funny to me. Gary's yeah. first response after seeing Ava is, hold me.
Uh-huh.
Hold me.
Hold me.
Hold me. I do see your first note on here, though, and that was really cool. She did a good job in this episode.
Oh, yeah. This was Katie Lotz's first directorial episode, which was cool. I don't remember if she was the one who posted the image of John's will or not. I'm trying to see if there's another image of it, but his will mentioned Papa Midnight and Chaz, so I was glad it would, which we never actually got a clear picture of,
okay.
In the episode. But I was glad to see that at least they're mentioned there.
Okay. One of the big reveals was the fact that Charlie is one of the original Fates.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool to get.
Oh, here we go. Found it.
You did?
Yep. Okay. Let's see here if I can enlarge it. Here we go. Okay. I, John Constantine, being of sound mind and body, do hereby declare that this is my last will and testament. I appoint Gary Green to be the sole executor of this will. I leave him my manor and everything inside it except for the following. One, the something of night, I give this to Papa Midnight under the stipulation that he not be told what it is and that he open it in public. The shards of the Black Diamond, I give these to Chandler. Tell him to guard them well. The sacred, John's writing is really, really crappy. Return to Nomo with an apology for having stolen it from him in the first place. John Constantine.
Nice.
So I'm glad we finally got a mention of Chaz and Papa Midnight, even if it's not really official.
That's true. Maybe we'll get them eventually.
Maybe.
Maybe. Scoots Magoots. Episode title right there.
Yeah.
Scoots Magoots. Yeah.
Thank you, Nate, for bringing an anachronism into the 90s and giving Khan access to it.
And thank you for allowing us all to relish in the fact that Genghis Khan's gang was riding through Hong Kong on electric scooters.
On electric scooters. Like, seriously, I was kind of expecting airships.
Yes, but scooters.
Like not scooters, airships. Like bomb the crap out of them, but no. Okay. But I forgot for a second that this is the Legends we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Khan, of course they would use that line.
Mm-hmm.
Which you have no idea which line.
Which line you're talking about. There's a lot of lines in this episode.
Nate yelling Khan.
I don't get it.
Also from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Nope, don't get it then.
It's fairly infamous. If you guys don't know which line I'm talking about, go ask your parents or a Trekkie or both.
They've probably all seen it.
Speaking of Khan, I want his trench coat.
Did you like his trench coat, Carrie?
I love that trench coat. I would like it in petite, please, because I am short. and yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Let's see. Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I should have suspected you would get that one.
I did, Carrie.
At least
because I'm amazing, and I have a scoot. Uh-huh. I'm gonna scoot some magoots.
Nah. Nah. I mean, they're nice. They're apparently very, very handy. I do see them all over the city now.
They are all over the city over here, too, for sure.
Yeah, but, nah.
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 Well, anything else, then?
I don't think so.
Y'all, that was a very quick episode tonight, so,
It was
not even an hour yet, that's okay, but we are at the end of DC Talk this time, so, if there's nothing else, Carrie,
I am
Mike.
I'm Carrie.
And
have fun,
and we'll see you next time on DC Talk. Peace out.
Bye.